Well, hello, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How is everybody doing? So glad that you are here with us. We have our normal group of late night followers as we broadcast live now Tuesdays and Thursday nights at 9:30. We have Carl the Cricket in the background. Carl is chiming in already on tonight's topics. Let me know where you are at. Where are you listening in from? I'd love to hear from you. And once again am going to come to you, and I am going to express concern about my fellow Republicans. And I have to tell you, I'm getting close. I'm getting close to saying enough is enough with the whole party. And you know, I've been trying to figure out a way to make a change within the party. I gotta tell you, I'm getting close. And I don't know how much more I can take. I really don't. What are we talking about? The Salt Lake County Council overriding science and medicine and reversing a mask mandate. That's what we're talking about. And also, I want to play for you, if you missed it on Informed Utah, which aired earlier today, my interview with somebody who actually, this is going to be really interesting, they actually went to college and medicine school. Is that what you call it? Why can't I think of the name? And became an epidemiologist who, crazy now, studies viruses. Somebody who actually knows things. This is not the media. This is not, you know, I can't wait to hear the ulterior motives that this woman has as she works for the state of Utah, that she's somehow in on the grand global conspiracy, or she wants your children to wear a mask because she hates them, or because wearing a mask will turn them into a liberal. I'm blown away. If you don't know, the Salt Lake County Council voted to overturn a mask mandate that was put in. They didn't get a lot of notice. I understand they were shocked and surprised by it, but they voted on party lines to overturn it. And I looked at their reasoning. And I reached out to him. I know a couple of the people on this committee, on this council. I consider myself to be friends with at least one of them, and consider them to be a good person who is not motivated by politics. But for the life of me, I can't understand the thinking here. I can't get it. And that's why part of me is like, it's got to be politics, because I don't know what else it can be based upon what we're being told. And that's my frustration is, okay, tell me why you made the decision and let me analyze it, okay? So I invited Amy Winder Newton on the show, not tonight's show, but I offered her to come on and talk about her vote. And she said she would. And so I told her maybe Monday or Tuesday, and then she emailed me back and said she's not going to come on the show. And I said that I was disappointed by that. And I told her in the email that I'm going to blast their decision, but I want to hear what they have to say first and give them an opportunity to speak on this issue. And unfortunately, she chose not to. She did send me a copy of her statement. And she said maybe in the future, maybe she will. Medical school. Thank you, Chris. Why couldn't I come up with that? I don't know. Heather says, I think she realized she's lying now. I don't think she's lying. I think that she was put in perhaps one of the most difficult positions you could be put in, and that is a decision between science and medicine, and a decision between a rowdy group of constituents who don't care. And do you represent them? Or do you represent your conscience, and do you represent science? I think that's where these members of the council ended up. I don't want to suggest ulterior motives. I don't know their heart. I don't know what they went through. I don't know. But I got to tell you, their reasoning doesn't add up. And that's why I really wanted to talk to them. And my offer is still out there. To those of you who I know on the council, please come on. If you're confident in your choice and your decisions, please come on this show and tell us why you came to this conclusion. And let me ask you questions if you stand by it. Please, please, for everybody, please. Michael asked the question, are they going to be liable for charges not if, but when kids die? No, they won't. So here's what I want to do. I want to read some of Amy Winder Newton's statement. I want to tell you where I think she completely missed it. And then I'm going to play for you some of the clips from my interview with the state epidemiologist. And she talks about the Delta variant. She talks about children and why they're at risk. She talks about mask wearing. Okay. Now, forgive me if I'm going to believe an epidemiologist over somebody who is in a political position. Forgive me if I'm going to do that. But that's what I'm going to do. Let's see, Orion, he says, Angela Dunn told the council that she would only make a mandate after gathering data from Delta in schools. Then she dropped the mandate without council's approval. Angela Dunn could have gotten what she wanted if she waited. Yes, we need a mandate, but the council was put in a hard place. Orion, I don't agree with you that I don't think there's anything that pushes this council to a place where they allow it. Not with the firmness of their vote. And not with the firmness of their statements. I do not believe that. I just don't. There is plenty of data out there about Delta and children. And so I don't, that's not something I'm prepared to believe. This is Chris. Hang on, Chris, let me get you up here. I wish families that were pro-mass would have overwhelmingly showed up. It might have turned ugly, so maybe better they didn't. I was so disheartened when the council voted to strike down the mandate and all of these parents in the audience rise up and cheer. I was so disheartened by that. I just don't understand it. On a day when the LDS church comes out and says, everybody get a vaccine and wear a mask. The disconnect between me and them is getting so wide, my friends. Todd says, believing an epidemiologist over a politician is the right call. You would think, wouldn't you? You would think. Okay, let's get to Amy Winder Newton's statement here. I hope you can read it. And I'm just going to read you parts here, and then I'm going to tell you where I disagree. She says, to my first point, when we are in the business of public health, data-driven decisions are key. We know children under 12 have very low risks with COVID. Though the Delta variant is more contagious and more children will likely get it, the risks of COVID complications are still incredibly low for children under 12. I will share with you what the state epidemiologist has to say about this idea. But then we get into where I just kind of went, huh? And this to me is a perfect example where everybody's missing it. She says, and second, I cannot in good conscience tell a parent that government knows better than they do for their child, especially when the COVID risk to young children is low. She is playing in a ballpark where COVID only affects an individual child. And on decisions where a parent has to make that decision and that decision only affects an individual child, I am with you. Let the parent decide. I am with you. But that's not this. And it's completely ignoring, focusing in on the individual child and the individual parent is a denial of what is happening right now. Because this is not about the individual child. This is about every other child. So as a parent, I can make the best decision for my kid. But when the parent next to me is not, that choice is not only affecting my child, it's affecting me because that child is bringing home the highly contagious Delta variant. And that child, let's think. Should the parent be able to choose for the teacher? Should the parent be able to choose for my wife who works in the counseling office? Should the parent be able to choose for the custodian and for the principal and for everybody else? This is not about individual parenting or individual parenting rights. To make it about that is closing your eyes and maybe purposefully, so that you could find a way to make this fit into your vote. She says, parents have instinct, intuition, and inspiration when it comes to what's best for their children. I agree. But they don't have intuition and instinct for other children. And for everybody else that are going to be impacted by the Delta variant. And as you will hear from the state epidemiologist, that the more people who get this, children or not, the more chance that it will mutate and that it will mutate outside of the protection of children and outside of the protection of the vaccine. So acting and pretending like this is about individual parents' rights over their children is nonsensical to me. And then she says, we know some children are suffering from delayed cognitive development, mental health challenges, and other issues because of masks. Yeah, I did some research today on that. And I found very little to support that. And she says, and yet we also know masks help diminish the spread of the disease. Well, thank you for acknowledging that. She says, each child is unique and has different challenges. Again, not about the individual child. There should not be a one-size-fits-all for our kids. No, normally there should not. But we're in the middle of a pandemic. And guess what? We know how to reduce the spread. We know how to protect our children. We know how to protect teachers. Is it 100%? No. She says, I believe the right solution is to allow parents to decide what is best for their child. So you get to choose for my child and for my wife and for my child's teacher, for my child's principal. She says, I will be voting to overturn the mask mandate, but I still highly recommend masks for those who can. Well, thank you for that. She says, some public health officials assert we need to mask these little ones in order to keep the spread low and reduce demands on our healthcare system. She says, our healthcare system is near capacity, not with young children, but with adults. Again. How do adults get this virus? From other people. And yes, from children. who are, thank goodness, can you imagine this pandemic if it did adversely affect a larger number of children? But they are carriers and they are spreaders. So acting like children play no role in the spread of this virus, again, got my blinders on. It's just about the individual child. This child has no impact on anyone else around them, even though this child is carrying a highly contagious disease. She says, but with adults, many of whom are not vaccinated, I'm not going to put the burden of the community healthcare system on the backs of these children who have very low COVID risks. I morally cannot do it. It's not on the backs of children. It's on the backs of every human being. It's everybody. It's all of us. It's not on these children. And you know what? So many of the children I've met, this is anecdotal, of course, they believe in the masks. And I just... Do you see what I'm saying? She is acting like this choice that the parent is making has no impact on anyone else but their individual child. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? It's just not so. And that's why I was hoping she'd come on if she does, I will be very kind and just ask her questions and ask her to tell me, you know, to explain how she is not taking into consideration that one parent's choice is affecting another child outside of their reach and is affecting a teacher and is affecting a community. Okay, let's get to some of your comments before we get to the state epidemiologist. Let's see, I got to scroll up here. Let's see here. Heather seems too organized that they sung Les Mis. I think it could have been a planned group. I don't know. We have become so embedded in this civil liberties idea that we have, you know, and what's crazy is we use cookie cutter rules and regulations in schools all the time. These kids face all kinds of mandates all the time. And to ask them to wear a mask during the major spread of a virus to protect their teacher. And this is one of the things that I talked with you about before with parenting. We seem to think that our job as a parent is to protect our child from trials and hardship. And I don't know where this comes from, and it is dangerous. Because in my opinion, what good parenting is allowing your children to experience trials and hard things, but not so much that they can have a negative impact on their entire life. So little bites of freedom where they get little bits of disappointment and trials, and that strengthens them. What parents should be doing instead of trying to protect their child from wearing a cloth covering on their face to save people's lives is they should be helping them understand the importance of this and using this as an opportunity to grow. Just as in the same way that we should have all been inspired by great leadership during the pandemic to be patriots and to do our part to save the country and to save our countrymen. And forget the mandates, forget all of that stuff. Let's get together And let's do this for each other and for our country. You want to know what makes America great? Do you think what makes America great is a bunch of people saying, it's on my choice, and I don't care what the heck any of you other people say? Is that what makes America great? David says, it's not the government saying this is the better course of action, or it's not just the government. It's not just the government. I'm not sure what you're saying, David. It's the health and science profession as a whole, with very few exceptions. Let's see. Todd says, I laugh when people say government can't tell me what to do, because literally every law is the government telling you what to do. Well, and again, you know, the example I love to use, Todd, is the example of smoking. You know, where were these civil liberties people with smoking? And what was the damage of smoking? It was that your choice when you smoke, it affects me because I get secondhand smoke and that affects my health. So that gives me the right to take away your right. What's the difference between that and carrying a virus, a deadly virus? I'll tell you the difference. The difference is they didn't smoke, so they didn't care about taking away the right. Now you're affecting them and their lives, so now suddenly they care about the right. Heather says, what's best for my child is that people surrounding him be masked. Let's see. Heather, you're saying the pediatrician from Primary Children today said that was a myth. What was a myth? A myth. I can't say myth for some reason today. Chris says, what affects kids more than mask wearing is not being able to go to school. So many at-risk kids will be forced back into virtual learning. I agree with you. What about kids who get long COVID? And one of the other things that I talked to the state epidemiologist about, we don't know what COVID does to children. Let me say it again to everybody out there who insist, just like this statement that I read to you, that COVID does not affect children. We don't know. We're about 18 months into this virus. We don't know. And to make that claim, yeah, are there fewer hospitalized? Yeah. Are there fewer that get extremely sick? Yeah. But we don't know. We don't know what 5 years out looks like. We don't know what 10 years out looks like. But go ahead and go ahead and stick to those arguments. Orion says, Amy is stuck between science and hard facts and the horde of crazies that make up the bulk of her constituents. Yes, they made a bad call here, and that response is total BS and regurgitated right-wing talking points. Heather says people are just being selfish. Look, I think you have a right to be selfish. I just think that there comes a time and a place where you ought to be able to rise above the civil liberties arguments. You ought to be able to rise above. I mean, what's so crazy to me is this is in, it's in a group of people who claim Judeo-Christian beliefs. And you know what's interesting is what's not in Judeo-Christian beliefs is the civil liberties argument. Is it? Is the civil liberties argument in, I mean, in Judeo-Christian, do they teach like the principles of the Constitution and stuff like that? Maybe I miss it. But what is in there is loving your neighbor and serving others. And those, that is in there. Let's see. Cindy says, can I just ask where the Delta variant came from, how it got here? Heather says India, probably on a flight. I'm not sure. But again, the more people who are not vaccinated, the more opportunity this virus has to mutate. We are already seeing, I told you about this the other night, the Delta Plus, We don't know about the Delta Plus yet, but I know it's not a SkyMiles program from Delta Airlines. I will tell you that. Cheryl says, I think India and then Great Britain. Cannot speak tonight. David says, Utah isn't one of these states, but I find it ironic that several states that are against school mask mandates do have legal corporal punishment in schools. Yeah, Texas does. This is Orion. He says, you know, if we had social media in the 90s, we would have never had the Indoor Clean Air Act. They would have found a way to obfuscate the science on that. Stop using words I can't pronounce. Let's see. This is Heather. Can you imagine that some of these poor kids might have 70 years of long hauler symptoms? I get to tell you, I look at the science and the potential harm and impact of COVID. And then I look at the idea of that having to wear a mask for a few months might have some negative impact on them. I'm like, bring on the mask. And I'm the type of parent, and my children who would tell you this, I'm the type of parent who would tell my kids to wear a mask just so they can learn the experience. Because I want them to grow. I want them to be able to cope. I want them to be able to deal with hard things. And I want them to think about other people. I want them to make choices not just for themselves. And I think about the example that these parents are setting for their children. They may think they're setting examples of, look at civil liberties, yeah. I think they're setting an example of extreme selfishness. They're setting an example of complete distrust of government. And they're creating people ripe for manipulation and people who will be a leaf in the wind, blown to and fro without a foundation. And that's worrisome for me. It's very sad for me. Okay, more of your comments coming. This is Dr. Alicia Nolan. She is the state epidemiologist. And I spent about a half hour with her yesterday. If you want to listen to the entire interview, it's available on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. It will air again tomorrow at 10 a.m. on those channels if you want to listen to it in its whole. I've broken it up for you. Just the most important parts, the parts that apply to our discussion today. This is Tammy. She says, my five-year-old granddaughter wears a mask and has no issues. We explained why she needs it and she gets it. I know. This is David. He says, honestly, it seems like so many people would prefer to have the Articles of Confederation back. It's very sad. Well, I think what's being demonstrated is a lack of understanding of the Constitution, and I think you're trying to say that, David. They somehow believe that the Constitution keeps the states from doing this, and they're just absolutely wrong. And it's one of the reasons why you're not seeing any cases work their way up the ladder, because this is a states' rights issue, and was pointed out earlier, I think by you, David, that states mandate things on you all the time, and they're allowed to do it. Remember the 10th Amendment, anything not mentioned by the Constitution is reserved for the states. That's why they can have a speed limit. It's why they can have a seatbelt law. It's why they can put regulations on restaurants and everybody else. It's why local municipalities can say, hey, you can't wander around naked. You know, this has been going on forever. Now, I agree that when there's an overreach, I'll be right there to say, hey, why? Because I think you should have to justify it. But it's like there's this evil plan out there to get your people to wear a mask. Nobody has ever been able to articulate to me what that evil plan is. What is the evil plot of Democrats that wearing a mask for children or anybody else is going to create? Is it complicity with the evil government? I don't know. Heather says, yep, my 4 and 7 year olds do too. I see the youngest kids in church wearing masks. And I'm like, you know what, parents? Good for you. And those are going to be good kids because they're learning to follow what their parents have for them. That's awesome. Heather says, I plan on sending kids to school with masks, but I'm worried about bullying by kids who are not. We've seen parent bullies at mask meetings, and I'm sure it's rubbed off onto those kids. Yeah, it's the example, right? Jenny says, my kids said they are okay with wearing masks to school. They get it and don't want to get it. And they don't want to get sick. Here's the other thing. Mask wearing is the fastest route to not wearing masks. Mask wearing and getting vaccinated. That's the fastest route to an open economy. That's the fastest route to no mask mandates. That's the fastest route to a return to greatness. That's the fastest route to everything. And that's the one route that it seems like Republicans are fighting against. You know, thank goodness at least Amy Winder Newton is not saying that mask wearing doesn't work. I'm very thankful for that. She's trying to make it about an individual parent's choice. Unfortunately, that parent is making a choice for every other child in the school and every other adult. Excuse me. I got some Diet Dr. Pepper coming back at me. Okay. Let's see. What did we talk to the state epidemiologist about? First thing, remember I came on the air the other day and I was so mad at Representative Chris Stewart because he said that the CDC is losing credibility because they flip-flop on their decisions. And his statement, a word I don't use very often, ignorant. Ignorant and dangerous because they did not flip-flop on their recommendations for COVID. They did not. What they did is they issued new guidelines for Delta. Previous guidelines were for COVID Alpha. New guidelines for COVID Delta. See how that works, Representative Stewart? Not a flip-flop. New guidelines. Now, in the past, did they change or update recommendations as new research and science came out? Yeah. So I asked her about these flip-flops. Here's what she had to say.
Yeah, I think it's been frustrating for everyone, including the public health officials. But it really comes down to, unfortunately, the virus changes and we have to change to address that. Back when CDC made the recommendation about that people can stop masking if they were vaccinated, that was when we predominantly had what is called the Alpha variant of the virus circulating. And that variant was what we were used to. It's what we'd already addressed for quite a number of months. And it was starting to taper down. Unfortunately, the virus slightly got ahead of us and a new mutant came around, a new variant, and that variant has been is much easier to transmit. And that's why the guidance came out that we should be now wearing masks when people are in high transmission areas. Right. So really, what appears to be a flip-flop is really appropriate guidance. It's using the best evidence we have and the best information we have and making recommendations based on that. And the virus is forcing us to make changes.
New guidelines for a new variant, Chris Stewart, and anybody else who's throwing the CDC under the bus. And by the way, that's somebody who actually went to medical school and studies viruses. Then I asked her about this Delta variant. How contagious is it really?
The studies that have been starting to come out show that this virus is 1,000 times more transmittable. Like there's just huge amount of virus in people who are infected. And we know that one person will pass it on to about 4 to 5 people. Whereas with the original one, you'd only pass it to 2.
So more people get it. The spread is much easier. So once again, when you, a parent, want to decide for your child, are you deciding for just your child? Then she talked about how it's mutating and what's going on with that.
The truth is, if we continue to have transmission, the virus will continue to mutate and that will make new variants. And the whole goal of the virus is to find a way to infect more people. So the more we have transmission, it gives the virus just opportunities to change, and eventually something new will arise.
So eventually something new will arise. Then we got down to the core issue about kids and the Delta. And remember Amy Winder Newton's statement that this is more contagious and so it will infect more children. But that doesn't matter because children aren't as... Yeah, that was a sneeze. Children are not going to suffer the same medical consequences. So it doesn't matter if more kids get it. Well, again, the state epidemiologist, somebody with no political bent here, what does she have to say?
Yeah, and you're right. The original strains, we saw most kids were either mild or asymptomatic infection. But at the same time, we do have to remember there's been multiple hundreds of kids here in Utah who've been hospitalized with COVID. So it's not a mild disease for everyone. The Delta variant does look like it actually causes a very similar disease. So the ratio of how many kids get infected to how many have to go to the hospital actually looks pretty similar. The problem is that so many kids are getting infected. It just means a lot of kids have to go to the hospital. And that's what other states are seeing, where they're filling up their pediatric hospitals just because they have so many cases. When you have that many cases, a small percentage of a lot of cases ends up being a lot of people in the hospital. And so that's what we're seeing. We definitely are seeing a number of kids in our hospitals, and we want to keep that from continuing to increase.
All right. Interesting, right? So what she's saying is this impacts about the same number of kids, hospitalizes about the same percentage with the Delta. That's the good news. The bad news is the Delta is so much more contagious. That means more kids are going to get it, and that means more kids are going to end up in the hospital. So it's not a matter of it's simply not the same number of kids that are going to end up in the hospital. And that's what people are acting like. They're acting like, well, this is affecting the same percentage of kids, so it's going to be the same. It's not going to be the same because this thing is so viciously contagious. So you're going to have a lot more kids ending up in the hospital. And remember, these are kids that can't be vaccinated yet. So whose kid is it that's going to end up in the hospital? Who's volunteering? Anybody? Then we talked about her recommendations for masks in schools.
I mean, I think it's the safest approach. Families who want to make sure their kids stay safe and also that their kids don't bring it home to them, really, it's appropriate to have those children wear masks at school. That, after vaccination, that's our best protection.
So, again, medical professional, no political bend here. And I can hear Carl the Cricket agrees with her. I speak cricket. Carl's been outside the window for feels like weeks now. One other thing she talked about. Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask her about I keep hearing people saying this vaccine hasn't even been approved yet. It only has emergency use approval. We don't know anything about it. It was pushed through too quickly. So I asked her about that as well.
Yeah, I think the other one that you don't mention that a lot of people say is it's developed so fast. And I think that is an incorrect idea. I mean, we've had vaccines for over 100 years. We've been learning how to do vaccines, how to protect people through vaccines. And it's small step by small step. It's just like we didn't suddenly have cell phones. We had many different phones that led up to it. Mm-hmm. Same with this vaccine. There's been vaccines for years and we're just building on our knowledge. So this vaccine was something that scientists have been understanding how this worked for a long time. And in terms of concerns about the impact on people, we now have millions of people have received these vaccines, and we can look at what effects it has on those people. There was a recent study where they just looked at the severe side effects in these vaccines, and it's significantly lower than like almost non-existent compared to the effects of what would happen in the same population if they were exposed to COVID. So these vaccines are very well studied, but because we've given them to so many people, and we are continuing to collect the data, we're continuing to watch for any concerning signs, and so far there haven't been.
Yeah, this thing didn't just appear on the scene. They didn't just make it up from scratch. David, he says, I like that analogy with cell phones. Yeah, I agree with you. I will tell you, she was fantastic to come on the show. She spent about a half hour with me. Again, if you want to hear the entire interview, that's available now on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, anywhere you want to look, it's there. I will tell you one of the things that I would kept kind of doing, and I even did it with her after I ended the interview, is I tried to get her fired up about some of these politicians and state leaders who are putting out misinformation, and she wouldn't do it. She stayed very kind, and I was doing everything I could to get her angry with me, and she wouldn't do it. So she was a good sport. But forgive me, I'm going to trust her. That's not the media. I don't know what her possible motivation could be to lie or to change. This is somebody working off of science. Now, I will admit that just because science says something, that doesn't mean you have to do it in government. Again, I've been talking the whole time. There is a civil liberties argument here. What drives me crazy is when the civil liberties, those civil liberties people attack the science. And again, thankfully, Amy Winder didn't do that. But states have this authority. And it would be a good lesson for a lot of people to understand how state governments work. There is a romanticized version of what freedom is in this country. And it's not real. It's not real. And unfortunately, I don't know where it comes from because maybe it's just lack of proper education about how things really work. I don't know. I don't know, my friends, but I got to tell you, I am... I'm having a hard time hanging on to this Republican Party right now. I don't know if you are. Been clinging with dear life, looking for straws of hope. This is Heather. She says, Intermountain Healthcare and U of U Hospitals have been putting out updates, and every single one is suggesting masking. Even Fox News had a doctor come on and said the same thing. Here's the crazy thing for me. I actually think that the mask wearing is more important for children than it is for adults, because the children can't get vaccinated. Adults can, at least, you know, at least adults who don't have medical reasons can get vaccinated. These kids can't. And so we're literally saying, well, hopefully you won't be one of the ones that end up in the hospital because, you know, it affects a small percentage, but, you know, it probably won't be my kid. So I'm going to make a decision for your kid. Yeah, it's infuriating. Anything else you guys got? That's all I had for you planned tonight. How long are we in? Oh, only 46 minutes? Well, we could go for a lot longer if you wanted to. I'd just been frustrated by this. I was hoping to interview a couple of members of the council, and so far that's not happening. So I shared with you what I had. And yeah, that's all I got. Take a minute and become a patron of this podcast. Most of you listening are. In fact, I'm looking tonight. Maybe all of you are. Thank you for that. If you're not, please take a minute and become a one-time patron or a monthly patron of this podcast. And most of our listeners for this podcast come after the fact. So those of you who are listening later on, please take a minute and become a patron. David says, I don't buy this for a second, but what do you say about the mental health argument? I think the reason that, again, philosophy by Jay, I'm not a psychologist, right? So, but my belief is, my guess is that a lot of the mental illness, a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the things that are happening today are because of a protection from parents, protection from crisis, protection from hard things, protection that parents feel like it's their job to pamper. And there is a fine line there. And so, yeah, maybe if you're one of those parents and you've been pampering your child forever, it may devastate their mental health to make that child wear a mask. I think that it's not just children. I think it's adults. It's weird, but, you know, I think about, you know, myself and as a country, what national crisis have we been through? What molding or refiner's fire have we been through? You talk about the finest generation, as it's called, those people who survived the Depression and then World War II, and how they came out. And it just seems to me that this idea that somehow you're going to protect your child from the ramifications of a pandemic instead of teaching them how to deal and cope with them is not a good formula for mental health, if you ask me. It's just not. So that's kind of my take. Heather says, I'm glad to hear so many Republicans on here agreeing with you. Makes me feel like I'm not an outlier. I don't think you are here, Heather. I think that everybody here, we all disagree or agree in some way. We're all a little more to the right or a little more to the left. But I feel like at least everybody who's joining us live has sought with their best effort to try and see this through a non-political lens. And that's why I love doing these lives, because, you know, I know I'm not crazy anymore. I know there's other people around me, and there are Democrats and Republicans who feel this way. That's why I love it. Heather says, I have significantly more anxiety just because this disease can be so scary. That can be part of it too. Yeah, it can. I think about, I don't know what a like example would be, but, you know, I've studied World War II extensively, and I continue to, because I'm so fascinated by what started it. I want to know what gives rise to somebody like a Hitler. But I think about what those children went through, you know, during the bombings in London, when at night you couldn't have any lights on. You had to sleep in the bomb shelters. You know, would parents be coming out and saying, we need to just give into Hitler because this is bad for our kids' mental health? You know, I think that you can't grow unless you're growing and overcoming something. That's what growth is. It's overcoming something. So when you're always protecting, there's never overcoming. And so then when you finally hit those trials, it's like, doctor, I can't cope with this. Give me some medication. Now, that is a sweeping generalization, and it comes from somebody who I've had extreme social anxiety my whole life. So, you know, listening to me, I believe that chemicals in the brain can get out of whack. I know it's true. I experience it. But there's a difference between that and just your typical everyday anxieties and coping mechanisms. And oftentimes I think that we cloud the two. And we now it's like mental health is now encompassing all of that. And maybe that's how it should be. But I believe there is a difference between chemical mental health and mental health that is not fully strengthened or developed because of upbringing, because of nature or nurture, not because of nature. That's just me, though. I didn't go to medical school or anywhere else, so who am I? What do I know? Anyway, my friends, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I always feel a little bit less closer to the ledge after I'm able to hear your comments. So thank you for that. I hope that members of the Salt Lake County Council will come on my show or somebody else's show, and they will answer the questions that I have raised for you tonight. I suspect they won't, because there's not a good answer. And I'm going to ask the follow-up question. And that's, well, you know. Anyway, Tammy says, thanks, J-Mac. Thank you, everybody. Go to jmacfarland.com, become a patron. I hope you've been enjoying the daily information that I've been bringing to you. Several Informed Utah podcasts this week, a lot of J-Mac updates. I hope that you've been enjoying the content. Let me know if there's anything you want me to cover. Let me know if you have any ideas or suggestions or things you don't like. I'm all open to that. You guys are like my core group, so let me know. Orion says, I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in, and if you do not want to see me again, I would understand. All right, my friends, thank you. Have a wonderful night. Carl the Cricket says good night. I'll be back with you live on Tuesday night, but lots more content coming at you before then. Chris says, J-Mac, thank you for taking the bullets for us. Some things we are not allowed to say, even in families. I know. That's the world we live in, my friends. But we can come together here and maybe feel a little bit better, like we're not alone. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful night.